You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Switching back into some Titans talk, and we've got a poll question up at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. 1 week from Thursday night's, or from this Thursday night, the showdown against the Colts is taking place. Who do you currently view as the favorite in the AFC South? Is it the Titans or is it the Colts? So far, 271 votes have rolled in on our poll question. 73%, now 72%. It changed just as I was talking. 72% say the Titans are still the favorite in the AFC South. 28% are riding with the Indianapolis Colts. Joe, what do you make of that poll? And if I asked you that question right now, who is the favorite in the AFC South, what would your answer be?
Gosh, I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that today because actually it's kind of hard.
It is hard. Yeah. Like 2 weeks ago we had this conversation and we said the Titans were the clear favorite. And then defensively, they've had a few issues since then.
Yeah. I guess I would still, I would go slight edge Titans. Now when you're talking about this, we're talking about the favorite, and what that also means is, you know, not just what we think about the teams. We know they're going to play each other twice. So certainly if either team were to, you know, get both of those, that would be a huge advantage. But this is also, well, what are the schedules ahead? I mean, that's a big part of this too. They both have a lot of tough games ahead on top of just each other. And both of them have Baltimore coming up, you know, which is interesting. So, I still am going to – I'm impressed with what Phillip Rivers has done, and he's responded. And good for him. It's made things a lot more interesting. But I still don't trust him, you know, and that's ultimately – if you're really close on two teams, I think sometimes you boil it down to the quarterback, and I think the Titans are just flat out better at that position. So – I would still go with them. I mean, the Colts have – I mean, look at their schedule. So their next four, you know, they came back against the Bengals. Like Porth said, it looked like they were about toast. So they come back, win that. They go, you know, trounce the Motor City Kitties. And so it's Ravens, Titans, Packers, Titans. That's their next four. So we're going to find out about them. You know, then it gets – They get the nice Texans 2 out of 3. Boy, that's weird. They got the Titans 2 out of 3 games, and they got the Texans 2 out of 3. I don't know if the team likes
that
or
not. Can we stop for a second? Did you just call the Lions the Motor City Kitties?
Yeah, you like that?
That's pretty good.
I mean, I could
talk. Is that on a T-shirt?
There's other things I could call them, but we've got FCC regulations
okay.
Here.
So. All right.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. That's somebody used to say that. The big thing was, you know, restore the roar.
Oh,
that
yes.
Was restore the roar. Wayne Fonts.
Yes.
Has Matt Patricia done that?
Has he restored the roar?
Yeah.
Oh, he's about to get restored to defensive coordinator at some other team in the NFL.
Name the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it is.
Matty Pat. Come on down, Matty Pat. But, yeah, so you got those four games for the Colts, and then you get Texans, but, you know, Raiders at Raiders, Texans at Steelers. They still have the Steelers ahead. I mean, so that also has to factor into this whole thing. You know, who's the favorite? I mean, the Titans also have tough games ahead, but that's a tougher schedule than to me than what the Titans have. So I think the Colts may need to sweep this thing, and maybe they will, to get it done.
It's interesting to have this conversation right now. Both teams sitting at 5-2. And we said a couple weeks ago, you know, the Titans are the clear favorite in the AFC South. Now, some things have happened since then. Taylor Lewan has gone down. The defense has been just absolutely atrocious. I'm with you to a degree. I don't trust Phillip Rivers. But now the question is, who do you trust less? Is it Phillip Rivers or is it this Titans defense? And We talked about the pass rush on Sunday not being able to get to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. What makes you think they're going to be able to get to this Colts offensive line? This Colts offensive line may be the best offensive line in all of football. And if Phillip Rivers has got all day to sit back there and throw, I may trust him over that Titans defense a little bit more. So I'll be honest, like I'm switching on this. I would put the Colts as the favorite in the AFC South right now simply because I think I trust Phillip Rivers a little bit more than I do this Titans defense as currently constructed, because the Titans defense has been that bad.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to get to him, but you know, it's hard for teams to get to him anyway for two reasons. One, that offensive line, it's great. And two, he does get the ball out fast.
He does.
But this is, I mean, again, for that particular game, there's the classic, like, okay, you feel better about your coverage guys now? Well, get up and press man and don't give up the short stuff. That's all he does.
And get him to make a mistake, because he will, right, more than likely.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, they're not going to get to him. They're not going to get to him unless you're talking, you know, the rare blitz that gets home, or the game is, you know, the Colts are chasing the game late or something, and they got to change up there. He's going to get it out quick, and you're going to you need to cover and tackle and stop the run. So if you're going to frame it that way, who do you trust more, Phillip Rivers, the Titans defense? I mean, you could put just about any name in there right now, and I'd pick that name over the Titans defense. But that's not all it is to me. You know, I still think the Titans offensively can have a lot of success against that good but not great defense.
But are you worried at all that the Titans have not had as much success offensively since Taylor Lewan has gone down? Because we think they could still be a really good offense, but we haven't really seen it yet since Lewan's gone down.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you – I mean, you can discount the Bengals because they're not good, but honestly, that game, it's – drive right down the field like a knife through hot butter, throw a terrible pick. Drive right down the field, you know, you miss a field goal. You have an all-run drive, score a touchdown. You're driving again, you get the holding call on Ben Jones. The Bengals didn't really stop them, right? I mean, the offense stopped them, or the defense stopped them, their own defense stopped them by putting them down 17 points and changing what they do. So I still think that the Titans are going to be able to run the ball, although the Colts have gotten better in that way. I mean, the Colts have definitely done some things to not let what Derrick Henry did to them the second half last year in Indy. That really flipped everything around. It flipped the entire season around, really, I think even more than the Chiefs game, was that win in Indy. When they're down and they keep running with Derrick Henry, and he dominates the second half, and then Tannehill hits the shot to Raymond, and that was as big a win as they had last year. The Colts are better equipped for it, but I still think the Titans can run it. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know with moving forward. That's a big question here in this debate, is the Tyson Brailos, you know, in place of Lewan, and what does that do game after game? I mean, this week we're going to see the test, certainly another test of that offensive line without Lewan.
We are, and, you know, it's not like the Bears' defense has been like this impenetrable wall that nobody can get through, but they're very good. And Khalil Mack is obviously the name that jumps out at you in this game. If you're the Titans protecting Tannehill with him on the other side, you're going to have to give either some Brailos or Dennis Kelly some help there, because I think still probably the most gifted pass rusher in the league today. I mean, you could probably make an argument for a couple other guys. I would still put Khalil Mack at number one.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. He is the most dynamic, explosive, game-wrecking, just straight-up edge guy in the NFL as a pass rusher. He is – I mean, you have to double him. It's not like – you don't chip him. You double him, you know? He's not – like a little bit of help. Like you have to – and honestly, that's a guy even – like for Lewan, you – give a little help if it's Khalil Mack. You know, that's just how it is. So, yeah, and that when you have a guy like that who you commands that, you cannot get away with not doing it, that really helps everybody else. And they've got some other good players up front too. So, yeah, this will be a good test for sure of this offense bouncing back. Because, again, it's like I feel like the offense was definitely betrayed by the defense last game and wasn't able to do what it would have done. But 20 points is 20 points.
It is. And going back to the overall discussion of just where the Titans are right now, how much of a difference, even with the pass rush being what it is, and we've talked about it all season long. It's just not good. I don't have much confidence it's ever going to be good. How much difference does Adoree Jackson getting back in there make when you just simply make the swap of him and Jonathan Joseph? Like, I wonder how many more stops is that worth? How many points per game is that worth? I mean, you're not going to have quarterbacks like Joe Burrow just sitting there throwing at Adoree Jackson time after time after time like they did with Jonathan Joseph. I wonder in the overall picture of the defense what that's actually worth.
Yeah, I would say quite a bit. Again, it's after all this time without Adoree Jackson, you get a little mythology going, like he's like the best corner in the league. He's not. He's really good. I think he could. I think there's another level too for Adoree Jackson, and I don't know if he'll get there or not. But he's really good. And yeah, I mean, it got to the point where it really did look out there like it's just like, where is he? Where's 3-3? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's gone. That's not happening anymore. And it's a big upgrade, I think, from Joseph as a player now to Adoree. So, yeah, I think it'll make a big difference. I'm still more on the side of if you don't have any pass rush, it's not as much difference as you hope, but we'll see.
Well, it's not only Adoree, but also if Desmond King, if you're getting the good version of Desmond King, like think of the top three there, Butler, Jackson, and King versus Butler, the other Jackson, and Joseph.
Yeah. It's a pretty big difference.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah.
Let's go back to our text line quickly, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, early call shot. If the Titans can't get to the Bears quarterback this weekend, whoever it is, they will definitely not be able to get to Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, again, I don't think, like, the way the Colts play and their offensive line, and then, I mean, even forget the Titans' bad pass rush. Like, it's hard to get to them. They won't get to Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
That's not going to be part of that game. You know, you got to cover, tackle, and you got to, like you said, you need a mistake from him, and he makes them. But you're not going to be all over Phillip Rivers in that game. He gets that ball out fast. He doesn't push it down the field, and that's, to me, why you play aggressively in that game.
When we come back, we'll continue to get your reaction. Who is the favorite right now in the division? Is it the Titans or is it the Colts? Let us know, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next, but first, Joe, you have a word from FanDuel.
I do. And for those of you who are watching some football this past weekend, if you saw an ad for FanDuel Sportsbook, you might have said, is betting legal in Tennessee? Well, yeah, it is. It's legal here, and you can place your first bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. You can get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. You win. If you lose, you get the entire bet, again, up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. This is something that there were a couple games last week that I may have done. I've got a few in mind this week, potentially maybe even involving the Detroit Lions. But, you know, we'll see about that. With FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They got a simple app. It's live betting on every game. They've got exhilarating bets such as game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And when you win on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you get your winnings back in as little as 24 hours. So claim your risk-free bet, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, and sign in with promo code Joe, J-O-E, so they know I sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Joe. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking some AFC South. Who is the favorite in the division right now? Is it the Titans or is it the Colts? Let us know, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in and says, Robbie, have you been hanging out with Stillman? Keep the faith. Rivers will give our defense the ball a couple times, and the offense will take advantage. Am I being too? Do I have too much confidence in Phillip Rivers?
Isn't Stillman a homer? What am I missing here?
I don't know. I think it depends on the day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little surprised you flipped. I think you flipped here a little quickly. I don't know.
Have y'all watched the Titans defense?
Sure.
How could y'all not flip? I don't get it. Like the Colts.
Well, I mean, I think it's close. I think it's close. But again, like Phillip Rivers is still Phillip Rivers. He's played well lately. Titans offense. That's the if I knew the Titans offense, you know, was going to be able to figure this out, then I would be stronger with the Titans. But I'm still just a little bit. Again, I think the Colts schedule is my biggest thing. I mean, they have a brutal schedule. You're talking about, I mean, okay, let's just talk about odds. Let's talk about, you know, what, not that that makes all the difference, but they're going to be underdogs. Certainly they are this week against the Ravens. I don't know what that line is, but, I mean, here in Nashville, the Packers, the Steelers, you know, they got the Titans again. They have a tougher road to the end than the Titans do. You know, you lose to the Jaguars. That really, you know, they have that. Now the Titans just got them a loss to the Bengals and said, okay, let's have a race. But that's a tough loss.
I mean, outside of the quarterback position, who has the better roster?
The Colts.
The Colts do.
So for you, Joe, that is the trump card.
Yeah.
Well,
that
is the fact that Tannehill is the Titans quarterback and Old Man Rivers is the Colts quarterback.
Right. What's the most important position? And then the next thing I go to is that the Titans have Derrick Henry and they don't. You know, I mean, that's the difference to me. Those are the two good moves of John Robinson's offseason, locking those two guys up.
Right now, the Colts, a 1.5-point underdog against Baltimore this week, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook. So 1.5 points.
All right. So that's close.
I know. Well, look, I think Baltimore may be a little bit overrated. I do. And we're going to have our power rankings coming up, and maybe we'll see that a little bit. Our top five teams in the NFL coming up in the next segment. But Baltimore, to me, if you get a lead on them, they got problems coming back. And I think there's enough body of work and enough evidence at that point right now that until they prove otherwise, that's a question they're going to have to answer.
Yeah, they're not running. They're certainly not rolling over teams like they did last year. I still like their D a lot. Yeah, they came back last week against the Steelers, but they didn't ultimately finish the job at the end. So, but you're right. They're definitely a team that more than a lot of these, and probably more than any of the true quote-unquote contenders, needs that lead, needs to play from in front.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says the Colts don't have Hooker on the back end anymore, which is a good thing for the Titans. It is. That certainly helps.
Yeah, they've had some major injuries for sure. They are definitely better up front, though, too, you know, with DeForest Buckner.
Yeah.
And that's a big-time pickup for them, so... No, I mean they do. I think they have a better roster other than they haven't figured out the most important position.
Let me ask you this. If Indy goes and beats Baltimore this week, and let's just say you know the Titans beat the Bears as well, and both of them are 6-2, does that change your opinion at all if Indy gets a pretty statement win in the league against Baltimore?
Well, the good thing is we'll have a short week before we can just see them play each other, but it
that's
might.
That's true.
Yeah, it might. Yeah, I mean that would be a big time win. I agree that, you know, the Ravens, they're not what they were last year. And we saw, like, when the Chiefs went in there, that was pretty convincing. But they've had their own impressive weeks, too. And I still would be surprised if the Colts beat them. So if they do, then maybe that would be a mind changer for me.
Let's go back to our poll question at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Who is the favorite right now in the AFC South, Colts or the Titans? The Colts have gained some momentum in this poll. It was at 28% for the Colts. It's now at 29% for the Colts. Titans at 71%, 315 votes in so far. So it looks like the Titans are going to run away with this poll, which tells me it's interesting as this week has gone on. You know, Monday and Tuesday, the sky is falling among Titans fans. They've lost two games in a row. The defense looks atrocious. And now that they've gotten rid of Vic Beasley, Jonathan Joseph is out the door. Adoree Jackson may be coming back this week, and Desmond King coming in. It looks like Titans fans have gotten some newfound hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
The glass is half full once again.
Well, yeah. You shed some, you know, some dead weight and add some good pieces. And, you know, it's just like anything. It's like talking to the Vol Twitter people. You know, it's like, so on Monday, it's all misery, and by Friday, we are going to beat Alabama, baby. You just keep going through the week, and it gets better and better. So
maybe that's something we're seeing right. Maybe Titans Twitter is the same way. There's probably a good
Titans Twitter has a long way to go to get to that level of crazy. But they've got some good representatives.
As you look ahead to this game this weekend against Chicago, to me, this is going to be a decent litmus test from where they are defensively, with maybe some new bodies coming in with Adoree, and we'll see about Desmond King. But this offense has been atrocious for the Bears. It's not good. How they've gotten this far into the season, and they're, what are they, 5-3 on the year right now? It's amazing to me that they've been able to win five games with this offense. The Titans defense, if it's going to have a game where they play well, maybe they create some turnovers, and that third down percentage starts to go down a little bit, this seems like as good of a matchup as any for them in terms of playing better on that side of the ball, given how many struggles and how inconsistent that Bears offense has been.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not the time to bring this up, but the Bears have a very banged-up offensive line.
Oh, boy.
So
where have we heard that one before?
Yeah. Well, I went on a Chicago show yesterday, and they brought that up, and I was like, listen, that's great, but, like, they just played, like, the worst offensive line on paper in the NFL. I mean, like, five people missing from the opening, four from the week before. So that's not the difference, but the difference to me is, even as a rookie, I mean, I think Joe Burrow is well above what Nick Foles is as a quarterback. All due respect to Nick. It's pretty
Super
amazing.
Bowl MVP, Nick Foles.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty amazing that this year, be covering two Titans games against quarterbacks that I covered as freshmen in the fall of 2007. Man, that's going back 13 years ago. So I can give you Nick Foles must be about – so Nick Foles is actually younger than I guess I would have guessed, huh? He's only in his early 30s.
Do you think he's younger than Clay Matthews?
See, that's the thing. I thought Clay Matthews was 40, so I'm clearly.
Nick Foles is 31.
Doesn't he seem older?
Yeah, he does.
But, yeah, I mean, he and Kirk Cousins were freshmen. Same class coming into Michigan State, and they're both starting against the Titans this year. And, you know, Cousins had a big bounce-back game against the Titans, so they need to hope Foles doesn't have that. I think he's pretty limited. We saw him last year. He played one of those games, right? I believe against the Titans. He played the second game, did he not?
Foles? I thought Minshew. But yeah, I think he did play the second game here.
I think
Nashville.
He played the second game.
Yeah,
did,
when the Titans trounced him.
Yes, yeah. And it was just,
that was Foles.
That was Foles. Yeah. He's just. I mean, I think it's a little better for them with Foles instead of Trubisky, but this is a matchup because of him. You should be able to get some stops again. Like, how much of a difference do these defensive backs make? We don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but he's limited. Now, he has good receivers. We know what Mims is out after.
Yeah, not afraid to fight on that Chicago receiver receiving front.
Yeah, they're feisty.
Throw some punches.
But, you know, it's a matchup. Look at the rest of the schedule. This is one of the better matchups for the defense left on the schedule.
Is this going to be the Clowney game?
See, he
has one or two a year.
Well, they need.
I feel like we've asked that question every week.
Yeah, they need his game. I think they could win without the Clowney game. Like, they need him to have the game against the
Baltimore.
Ravens or the Colts or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, this could be the week.
Could be.
I mean, at some point, he's got to have one, right? We would think.
Hopefully, for the next 9 weeks, we're not saying, well, this could be the week for the Clowney game.
But what you want for the Clowney game is you want it in the postseason. And, you know, I think his postseason last year, what he matched his regular season sacks, or it maybe had 2.5 in the postseason versus 3. So if he saves it till then, that's good. The problem is, you know, what are they going to look like? What's their bottom line look like if he doesn't do more?
Yeah, like you got to get to the postseason first.
Right.
And, which sounds crazy to talk about when they started the season 5-0, but, I mean, that's a real thing.
Yeah, long way to go.
The defense, it has struggled. When we come back, Joe and I will debut our NFL power rankings. Who are the top five teams, according to Two of Us Idiots, in the NFL right now? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're going to debut our power rankings, our top five teams in the NFL here in just a second. But first, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville has texted in with his top five this week. He's got Kansas City at one, Pittsburgh at two, Seattle at three, Tampa Bay at four, and Baltimore at five. So Mark laying out his top five teams in the NFL right there. Joe, we're going to start with you this time around for your top five teams in the NFL. Port, do you have like a sounder for us? Are you prepared for that?
Number
Look
one.
Look at there. My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
What a producer.
Deep voice guy.
Oh, man.
Number one.
Joe, who do you have at number one in your power rankings?
I start out a lot like Mark there. I'm going Chiefs still. I've still got the Chiefs. I understand that the Steelers are the last unbeaten, and they've done some very impressive things, but I think the Chiefs are the favorite to win this sucker again. And solid defense and just flat out the best offense in the NFL, one of the best we've ever seen. Kansas City Chiefs, number one.
Number two.
I'll go Steelers next. And I think there's a little drop off in terms of over, like your in terms of ceiling, okay? I think the Chiefs on their best day and the Steelers on their best day, I think the Chiefs win by double figures, frankly.
Okay.
But you can't argue with what the Steelers have done. They have pass rushers. They got a good overall defense. They've now improved it with Avery Williamson. Although, hey, Robert Spillane, give him some props for what he's done there. Devin Bush is a big loss, and that neither of those guys replaces what Devin Bush can do, but that's a good pickup for them. Roethlisberger is still good. I think he's a little bit, to me, like Phillip Rivers in that he's gonna spray the ball around the field accurately, make good decisions. He's limited physically compared with what he used to be. But love their receivers, so I'm going them too.
Number three.
Now this is, it starts to get a little bit interesting, but I'm actually sticking with, and I think you and I will probably differ based on your commentary. I'm going with the Ravens. I mean, they were right there. You get that pick six, Robert Spillane, pick six on Lamar Jackson right away, kind of put them exactly where they don't want to be. They fought back. They had a great chance. When they took the lead a couple times that game, had a chance to win. They didn't get it done at the end. Great stop by the Steelers on Lamar Jackson. But I still think the Ravens, I think their defense has the highest upside probably of any defense in the league. And I still, like, they're flawed. They're not this overwhelming offensive team they were last year. Still think they're pretty good. And I give them the nod, the edge over my four.
Number four.
Going with the Seahawks.
Okay.
I mean, you got to throw somebody from the NFC in here, right?
At some point.
That's what's hard is, like, the last week made me look at some NFC teams differently. But, yeah, you got to go with the Seahawks. Russ, those receivers, they've been banged up at running back. Their defense is not great, but they're also getting some people there too. Jamal Adams. I mean, they should get better there. And I think they're the favorite to me in the NFC.
Number five.
Now you're gonna get all worked up about this.
Oh boy.
Tennessee Titans.
What?
Here we go. Hey, here's the thing. I thought about this and it's like, look, I would normally have had the Bucks, but I was so, and maybe I'm probably overreacting to one game. But again, I'm watching that and I'm like, Brady just doesn't look, he just doesn't look like Brady. And that's mostly what he's been. He had that one game against the Raiders where he's just dropping these dimes. And you're like, whoa.
He's been pretty good.
No, I mean, I'm not saying Brady's bad. He's still a very good quarterback. They're a very good team. I have troubles trusting them. The Packers really disappointed me.
That's another team.
Both of those teams I would have rated ahead of, certainly, especially after the way the Titans played Sunday. But this is a ranking based on still the offense, and also the Colts are right there for me too. Those three are right there. But it's the offense, the quarterback, running back, and the fact that I do think that there's going to be a difference in the secondary. I also have my reservations because of the pass rush, big time. It's not easy. There's no obvious team here, but the offense, the quarterback especially, keeping them in the top five.
Okay, so you've got the Titans in your top five. We'll see if I've got the Titans in my top five as well. We're going to start with my list here.
You just said what?
I know.
Number one.
I've got Kansas City at number one. That's no surprise. I still think, to your point, I think there's a gap between Kansas City and really everybody else, and that's based largely on the quarterback and what I know he can do. But also, Kansas City's got a legitimate defense this year too, and they didn't have that until basically three quarters of the way through last year. They played very well on that side of the ball. So not a whole lot of weaknesses right now with this Kansas City team. I've got them at number one.
Number two,
I've got Pittsburgh. The game against Baltimore, I think, showed me a lot. I had Pittsburgh ahead of Baltimore anyway heading into that game. I just really like the Steelers defensively. They're mean. They're nasty. They kind of play with a chip on their shoulder like you're used to seeing from some of those Pittsburgh teams of years past. I know it's a little bit different now in today's NFL, and the style is not quite the same. But Ben Roethlisberger has changed his game. I think James Conner is a good back. I don't think he's a great back, but I think he's a good back. And I like the weapons they have at receiver, so give me Pittsburgh at number two.
Number three.
At number three, give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number three. I think right now they're the best team in the NFC. I think they're the most complete team in the NFC. I love their defense. They absolutely destroyed my Packers defensively. I like what they're able to do with their pass rush. The secondary has played well, and that offensive line has done a great job of protecting Tom Brady. Now, there is a big wild card coming into play this week. Antonio Brown now lifted from his suspension. He's expected to play on Sunday night against New Orleans. How does that affect the team? I mean, the talent, obviously, you like. Maybe that's good
karma
for the Bucs and Brady, but as we know, there's a lot that comes with Antonio Brown. It's working right now. He said all the right things yesterday. If he gets 4 or 5 weeks in and he's not getting the ball as much as he thinks he should, I wonder how it works at that point.
They'll lose four straight.
They lose four straight after they got him. Well, maybe so. And then I'll have to adjust my power rankings. At number four, I have Seattle. I'm very concerned with Seattle's defense, but as you mentioned, they are getting some players back. We'll see if that helps. But Russell Wilson, if you had to make me nail down an NFL MVP right now, it would be Russell Wilson. I think he's playing the best football of his career. The offense is different with him this year. They finally decided to open it up and just let him throw and let him play his game. Metcalf is unbelievable. Tyler Lockett is very good. They have a ton of weapons offensively. Chris Carson, I think, still is an underrated back when he's healthy. Really like Seattle offensively. Still have questions about their defense, but I've got them at number four.
Number five.
At number five, the Baltimore Ravens. I still have a lot of questions about what happens with Baltimore if they start trailing in games. Can Lamar Jackson lead them back? He was not able to do so against the Titans, and he's not been able to do so against Kansas City and Pittsburgh so far this year. So until he answers that question always is going to be lingering there. I agree with you from a defensive standpoint. I think they have maybe the highest upside defensively, although I would still rank Pittsburgh's defense ahead of them at this time. But Baltimore at number five, they're going to be good. They're going to be very dangerous. And that offense, if they're able to get an early lead on you, they really hammer home the way they like to play, the style of their game. So give me Baltimore at number five. I do not have the Tennessee Titans in the top five.
Well, let's go. Where do you have them?
They're still in the top ten. I would probably have Green Bay somewhere around six. I would have the Colts ahead of the Titans right now. We talked about that in the last segment. I don't think the AFC East, like Buffalo, I don't really trust them. I don't think they're all that great. And then outside of the Chiefs in the West, I mean, you've got the Raiders, the Broncos, the Chargers are terrible. I mean, I still think the Titans are a top 10 team in the NFL. You look at their opponent this week, they're 5-3, the Bears. The Titans are favored in this game. The last time I looked at the line, it was 5.5. I think that's about right. I don't think the Bears are very good. So there's a lot of average teams in the NFC. So I still think the Titans are a top 10 team, even with this atrocious defense, because that's how good their offense is, but I can't put them in the top five.
It's interesting. We never mentioned the Saints, you know.
They have been very underwhelming.
No, they have been. No, they've been very pedestrian. I still think they could be a team like that, though, at some point. You know, and the Cardinals, now the Rams, very disappointing loss this last week. They're still 5-3. The Cardinals are 5-2. I mean, I think those are good teams, but yeah, it's hard to trust them completely too. I do think the Saints, this is a big one, obviously. They beat the Bucs in the first week. You know, the Bucs want revenge for that. The Saints have got to step their level up, but I think they can get there.
And maybe Michael Thomas finally able to go this week. We'll see.
That makes such a fundamental just you think about, I mean, Kamara has been incredible this year. So you put Michael Thomas back, if he's fully healthy, that makes such a difference for them and for Drew Brees.
Fourth, would you have the Titans in your top five? And do you have the Titans ahead of the Colts still? We never got your answer on this.
I would still have the Titans ahead of the Colts. I think both are in the top 10. I think one team that people are kind of sleeping on, because you've been sleeping on them for a number of years, is Arizona Cardinals. They're pretty darn good team. Kyler Murray is starting to figure it out, and he is so exciting to watch.
He is. Yeah.
Only
team to beat Seattle.
I mean, they are really, really good. They have a sneaky good defense. I wouldn't put the Cardinals in the top five, but I think they're a couple wins away from me considering them in the top five.
Problem is they lost to the Lions, so I can't – I look at them and I'm like, I want to believe in you.
They're not the Lions.
What's that?
They're not called the Lions.
The Motor City Kitties?
Yeah, the Motor City Kitties. Good Lord. Yeah, I mean, look, that division is still the best division in football to me, the NFC West. I don't think it's particularly close. I mean, you've got Seattle – even though L.A. laid an egg against Miami on Sunday, I still think they're pretty good. And then Arizona, very good as well. And even San Francisco, like, they've just been hammered by injuries. I mean, George Kittle out for like 8 weeks. Jimmy G's out. Mostert's out. I mean, they got Nick Bosa's out. They got a ton of injuries. And that's going to be an interesting matchup tonight, by the way. Green Bay and San Francisco, with Green Bay playing potentially without a running back. And then all the injuries that San Francisco has. A lot of injuries right now.
You're very nervous how everybody's still picking the Packers.
Yeah, the Packers are like a touchdown favorite.
So what's the second? I agree. That's the best conference. What's the second best?
Second best division?
Yeah,
division. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said conference.
I don't know. That's a good question.
AFC North?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess AFC North.
Especially because the doormat of that is, like, they'll win some more games this year.
Cincy? Yeah.
You know? I mean, Burrow beat some teams.
I still don't trust Cleveland all the way.
I don't trust Cleveland either, especially when they score 6 freaking points against the Raiders. I'd love to know. I don't want to ever watch a play from that game, but I'd still love to know how it happened. But, yeah, you got Steelers and Ravens at the top. That's pretty good.
I saw highlights from that Raiders-Browns game where the wind was like 50 miles an hour.
Yeah. We'll give Baker that excuse. Titans, get one mulligan.
Titans legend Eddie George is going to join us to start the 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to discussing the state of the Titans with him. When we come back, what do we make of the different directions that two key figures of a dynasty in the NFL have gone this year, and how does that affect their legacy? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 is your exclusive home for the 2020 Masters Tournament. Tune in to 102.5 The Game for leaderboard updates on next week and on Thursday and Friday. Then on Saturday and Sunday, November 14th and 15th, ESPN 94.9 will broadcast the Masters live both days. It's all brought to you by Music City Golf Store in Belle Meade for all your golfing needs. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans legend Eddie George will join us here in about 15 minutes to begin the 8 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. Quickly, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, Joe, you just ruined Skipman and the GM by putting the Titans at number 5. He'll spend all day talking about that instead of talking about the Bears.
Gosh, that's such a great text. And we've gotten away from Skipman, but I think we need to get back into using that, but only when it's appropriate. That's a good point.
Skipman and Skillman.
That's right.
He fluctuates.
We haven't used Skillman much. But, yeah, we need to also give credit where it's due. That's a good point. This may actually – he may be all flustered by this.
I am very surprised you had the Titans still in your top 5.
Yeah?
I'll be honest.
I mean, your reaction – now imagine Skipman's reaction. Talking about screaming for an hour, I'd say. So, yeah, sorry about that. I'm sure it'll be entertaining.
I don't think you're sorry at all.
We should come up with plans to, like, sabotage their show, you know? What can we say that will just get him all flustered and off his game?
Jadeveon Clowney's the best Titan of all time.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That will get him flustered.
Yeah, like, he's the best Titan signing of the offseason.
I'm going to
say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, even like reading like Jadeveon Clowney's Pro Football Focus grades.
Yeah.
You know, like he is their top 2 or 3 defender every week in Pro Football Focus terms.
What you should do, Joe, is make a case at theathletic.com that Jadeveon Clowney was the best offseason move that the Titans have made, and
yes,
make it sound like it's a serious column, and he will just rip you to shreds.
Well, he has texted me and said, "Where's your column apologizing to me?" Like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to, dear Jared,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, you say that, and if you talk about acquisitions, because the best two moves are the deals for the QB and the running back, right?
Yes.
Is it not the best acquisition of the offseason?
Don't disrespect Tyson Brilo in front of me.
Tyson Brilo is the clutch, you know, sort of throw-in guy that has worked out well.
Yeah.
But, I mean if you go draft and you know, significant free agents, I think it's quite clearly
best. Yeah.
There you go.
The only way it's the best is by process of elimination.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But something has to be the best. Right?
Oh, what a bad state of affairs for the Titans if that's been the best signing so far. I want to get into a topic. I've tried to get into it for a couple weeks here, but we just haven't had time to do it, and we do now. Two guys that were figureheads of the greatest dynasty, I believe, in NFL history, maybe the greatest dynasty, one of at least, in the history of sports. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady joined at the hip for 20 years in New England. They won 6 Super Bowls together. And now, obviously, the first year that those two have been apart from one another since Brady entered the league. And you've got teams going in two opposite directions. Right now, the Patriots are 2-5. They look very bad out there at times. Cam Newton started off really well, and it's been, quite frankly, a disaster the last 3 or 4 weeks with Cam Newton at quarterback. And meanwhile, Brady and the Bucks, they look pretty good. They're 6-2. That defense, I think, is a little bit underrated and was last year as well. They're very good against the run. They've been the number one defense in the NFL against the run the last 2 years. Tom Brady and Tampa Bay looking very good right now. And Bill Belichick had some interesting comments earlier this week on WEEI in Boston, just kind of explaining where the Patriots are right now and why they're in this situation. Here's what Bill Belichick had to say.
I mean, look, we paid Cam Newton $1 million. I mean, it's obvious we didn't have any money. You know, it's nobody's fault. That's what we did the last 5 years. We sold out and won 3 Super Bowls, played in a 4th, and played in an AFC Championship game. You know, this year we had less to work with. It's not an excuse. It's just a fact.
So, Joe, what do you make of Belichick's comments there about where the Patriots are from a salary cap perspective, and how do you view kind of the different directions that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have gone since their split this year?
Well, it's actually amazing to me to hear him even talk that openly about something.
I was shocked.
I was like, does he realize he's being recorded here? This is actually him saying human things about real stuff. Like, good for him, but maybe he's softening up in his old age. But look, I think this is going to be a debate for the end of time, especially in Boston, about, you know, who gets more credit for it and all that. The bottom line is, to me, name me the great coach who didn't have the great quarterback or player. You know, like,
yeah.
What legendary NFL coaches do we have who didn't have great players? It doesn't happen. It's not possible.
Right.
Right. I mean, Belichick was not a brilliant genius when he was, and with Nick Saban, two of the greatest coaches of all time. And they are. They are two of the greatest coaches of all time when they were together with the Cleveland Browns. They fought their way to 8-8, you know? So that's the reality of it. Belichick still deserves, I think, all the credit for what that dynasty has been. But what's the biggest factor? It's that you had this great quarterback for so long. And it's easier for a Brady to go out and look around and say, okay, I'm going to go there where I have the most chance to maximize my success. And he has diminished some as a player, but he's still good. And, you know, Belichick is kind of left at some point. Belichick's right. You're going to have to rebuild. You're going to be in salary cap hell. This happens in the NFL. What they've been able to do, not just the Brady aspect of it, but just, you know, moving on from contracts, finding underrated guys, not signing the long-term deals with people. That, I mean, they've really kind of set a new standard, and that's Belichick as a GM.
Right.
So you also consider him in the context of not just a coach, but a GM who has figured it out over and over again with the benefit of having a quarterback like that.
It is interesting, though, because you knew this was going to be kind of a point of comparison all year long. And I remember, you know, the Patriots, they won their first game. Cam Newton looked pretty good. I think they played the Dolphins in week 1. And New Orleans in the second half especially just shredded the Bucks.
Right.
In the game when everyone's like, well, it's Belichick. He deserves all the credit for the success. Brady's done. Brady's a system quarterback. He can't succeed elsewhere.
Did anybody actually say all that stuff you just said?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of – okay.
Yes, it was a talking point, and it was a talking point in Boston for sure. And now here they are, Brady 6-2. The Patriots are not going to be very good this year. And I do think in the back of Bill Belichick's mind, he believes everything he just told you there on our clip from WEEI. But I do think there also is a I don't know if it's a competition, but a desire between those two to prove that they can do it without the other. And the fact that this is going the wrong way right now for Bill Belichick, even though he'll never admit it, I think is eating him up inside.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, if somebody actually used the term system quarterback on Brady, I mean, you know, but of course you also, so in Boston, what are they going to, it's just like here. I mean, in 2 years from now, like Marcus Mariota never completed a pass in his time. He was the worst, right?
Right.
So whoever moves on, everybody's left back there is going to want to, they're going to be geared toward whoever's still there. So everybody there wants it to be, Bill showed him it was actually him. I mean, come on. It was both of them. And no matter what happened this year, that was going to be true. But, of course, you're right. I mean, early on it was like, basically to me it was just like a bragging rights thing. Like who gets to – because it is. It's going to eat up either of them if the other one goes on to have some great success without them. And they know, even though a lot of the conversation's stupid, that people are going to be talking about it.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What happens if Brady goes on this year and wins a Super Bowl with Tampa? Which, while I don't think is overly likely, it's not outside of the realm of possibility right now, given the fact that the NFC, I think, is pretty wide open. And as I just said, I think right now I would put the Bucks as the best team in the NFC. How do you view kind of that dynamic between he and Belichick if he goes on and wins a Super Bowl without him in Tampa Bay in his first year?
Well, there would be a lot more people who say that it was Bill riding Tom's coattails, not the other way around. Again, I think it was mutually beneficial, and I think that there aren't great coaches in this league. I mean, this is like a Mike Vrabel thing, you know? I mean, he talks about it all the time. It's like, it's about players in this league, man. It's about players. And so given all that, There already should be a proper perspective on Belichick Brady, but yeah, I mean, if that's the case, you'll hear a whole bunch more of that. And it will be, I mean, for Brady, just apart from Belichick, that's a pretty big deal. If he can win a Super Bowl, win a ring at his age with a different, granted, a very talented team, best weapons he's ever played with,
yeah,
right? Across the board, especially now that you add in Antonio Brown to the mix. But still, legacy. Now, if Brady does that, I might even come off the GOAT thing and consider maybe he's the GOAT.
Well, you shift. Right now you say one of the greatest of all time, which I think that's obvious, yes.
Yeah.
I think he's the best, but...
But, yeah, and that's fine. I mean, it's not like it's a bad thought that he's the best. I just hate that people are like, we have a count of rings. How could anyone be better than him? He has more rings.
Right.
Well, that's just not... That's dumb. Dan Marino is a million times better than a few quarterbacks who won Super Bowl rings. Dan Marino never got one, for example.
You think Dan Marino is better than Brad Johnson?
Maybe a smidge. Both Florida legends.
Oh, yes, I would say you're probably right there. But it is like Brady, I'll admit, he looks better this year than I thought he would. He's looked at times like he's not missing a beat out there. Now, there have been some throws where you're like, I don't know, especially that first game against New Orleans. He had a couple of just awful picks in that game. But Brady, his numbers are very good this year.
Well, it's like the Chargers game completely turned their season around. He threw a terrible pick in that game, a terrible pick six. They were getting blown out by the Chargers, and then he basically had a perfect half of football.
Yeah. I mean, he's completing 66% of his passes, 2,100 yards, 20 touchdowns, 4 picks. He's been very good this year.
That's pretty good, yeah. No, I mean, he's been great, and I'll say this, too, though. If we're going to talk about that team, I believe it. I believe that the Antonio Brown thing is going to be a dreadful mistake for them.
It could be.
I really do. I don't get it. I understand he's talented, but that's not where they needed help.
No. When we come back, Titans legend, former Titans running back Eddie George will join us. Looking forward to that conversation with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.